Good afternoon, Milwaukee. Yes, you are now punched in on your lunch break with your homeboy, Ray Nitti, and my homegirl, Maybe Shannon, live from the American Family Insurance Studio located in the 3rd Street Market Hall in downtown Milwaukee. Shannon, how you feeling?
Man, I'm feeling good, man. We came in to Ray Nitti Bow. Look, the only thing I want... Yeah, listen, all I want is to say, move your body, girl. Look, that's all. When I get on the stage, that's all I want. That's the only part I want, Ray. You got to rest.
Now move your body, girl.
Hey,
man, how y'all feeling today, man? How y'all... Zach be on point with the hot cues. Don't forget the number to call. The number to call is 833-212-1017. Today, we're going to have another amazing conversation. We had a real good one yesterday, Shannon. What do you think about the conversation yesterday? And you teased it on Facebook yesterday. Last night, they got a bunch of traction as well. But just give me your thoughts on yesterday and introduce the people to what we'll be talking about today, because I think we got another interesting one.
Yeah, for sure. So I feel like yesterday the conversation was definitely a good one and one that needed to be had. And I did tease today's conversation on Facebook because I was like, you know what, let's get the people's input. And, you know, not always people are available to call in and talk to us, and that's okay. But we got other ways to let you join the conversation. So yesterday on Facebook, I made a status and I said, I really want y'all input on this. Me and Ray Nitti are going to talk about this on the radio. Why do people protect and support people when they have allegations of being a child molester? Like, I'm seriously trying to understand the thought process when people question children's credibility over the accused adult and support them, stand by them until the details emerge and the evidence piles up. Or they harm somebody you love. What's the thought behind that? And we got almost 31 comments on there.
Man, it was
so let me know how many you want me to read.
Man, it was we can't even consider them comments. Them was like memoirs, you know, people got real passionate
about pieces. Yeah.
So definitely interested to get into that conversation. So don't forget, once again, the number to call is 833-212-1017. Shouts out to everybody in the chat. Not a City Girl, what up? Shouts out to the lunch break. We see you. Don't forget to like and subscribe to the Truth 101.7 The Truth on YouTube, and make sure you check out the MilwaukeeCourier.com to stay updated on your news. So Shannon, they was on my heels, and Sherwin actually expressed his thoughts to me as well about
really?
The block party. So we gonna
let's talk about that first.
Yeah, so the block party, right? The it's mixed messages around it, but people think we should not be doing a block party for those kids that destroyed the I take that as Zach agrees. Do we got the footage from the Western Day so we could pull that up? You don't gotta play it right now, but let's just have it on cue. But you know, real quick wrap up just for new listeners or anybody that doesn't know what we're talking about. A couple of days ago, good friend of mine, Larry Brazil, his warehouse got broken into, and well, warehouse where he stores his things got broken into, and they broke everything in there, essentially destroyed everything. We were outside waiting on the cops to come. Lo and behold, The young people that did the damage walked right past us and go into the building again where they brought other teens. We then had a conversation with the young people and got some of their stories. We talked to a lot of the parents that was in the neighborhood. And Larry felt like, you know, he didn't want to press charges on these young people because he could see the trajectory in where their life was going and wanted to offer a different a different means of educating or discipline or whatever that looks like. So through all of that, the kids are going to help clean up the mess. The parents are going to help as well. There's been a ton of community people that said they want to help as well. And, you know, I felt like, you know, this community, this neighborhood need to see some love. you know. And so I said, like, let's do a block party. I still haven't reached out to Alderman Russell Stamper about it yet because we're still trying to figure out things. But we said that, well, I said that I want to do a block party for these young people. Yeah, if you're looking on YouTube right now, you can see the destruction. It was bad. It was bad, not making an excuse for this type of behavior. But I just felt like the community needed to see some love. They needed to see something different. They needed to see some good energy, in my opinion. Because walking through that, it was like you just felt a level of just careless anger and destruction and rage. So much so, you know, so much so that we thought, like, all right, who mad at Larry? You know, that you would just come in and just destroy all his stuff like this. But
yeah,
Shannon, it was it they just was doing it. They just was went in there. They didn't steal anything. They did it. So long story short, I said, we're going to do a block party. We're going to bring some energy. We're going to bring some good vibes, some resources to the neighborhood. And, you know, people think that that's not a good idea. We're rewarding bad behavior, and we are enabling young people to continue behaving like this. And some people feel like they're not seeing the consequences of their actions, and they shouldn't get no block party. They shouldn't get a party. The community shouldn't get a party. They should go to jail or so forth. And we just think of what does that do for those families. But I'd like to know your thoughts, Shannon. I know we tried to talk about it, but we had so much to talk about yesterday. I'd like to get your thoughts. Do you think we're enabling?
I feel like if there's steps before the block party where we can probably do like some outreach or like Big Brother type situations where like you guys are meeting with them on a weekly basis or something before the block party where they can actually earn it, some type of, I mean, neighborhood cleanup opposed to the block party, because, you know, I was too invited to the block party, but I ain't coming if I ain't got my ski and my blicky. You know what I mean? No, I'm just, well, let me
see. Oh my God.
But maybe some steps before we get a neighborhood love block party. That young man said he got beef in them streets, and I don't want to be a bystander to what he got going on either. So I feel like maybe next year around this time they'll be ready for a block party. But let's focus on the cleanup. Let's focus on the outreach aspect of it. Let's talk to some of these young people. Like you say, you got their contact information. Maybe as an incentive, we do a block party. But right now, today, do a neighborhood cleanup and bring the police with you.
The police can help as well. Zach said they block party is tomorrow.
Exactly.
He said they don't need another one.
For real, they don't need a block party, because if they need something that's entertaining, safe, fun, good vibes, they can go and celebrate that tomorrow. They don't need something on top of that. Like, I feel like that's why it's, you know, rewarding them, because it's like they don't deserve that, especially when they got something tomorrow.
So I feel like we lump the whole we want to punish the whole community for the actions of the young people. It's so many other families that, like, I knocked on the doors. You feel me? I knocked on every door in that neighborhood, from 27th Street all the way to 35th Street, from Center Street all the way to Locust. And these families turn over so much because housing is such an unstable thing in our community. And I feel like when people just get accustomed of seeing their community look a certain way, you know, they start to take on that identity. And once again, I hear people saying that's not our responsibility to help make where somebody else lives feel better or stay better. But I was just raised a little differently, where you see community and you help community. Like, I was born and raised in the Virgin Islands, where we went through devastating things like hurricanes and threats of tsunamis and where people lost everything. And you had to rely on the community that you have. And in that same community, there was people that did distasteful things to neighbors and so forth. But we still had to lean on each other to show that support. And I hear what everybody is saying. It feels like we're rewarding bad behavior. It's like, okay, let's say, what are the alternatives, Shannon? Like, if people are saying we're rewarding, is it just we turn a blind eye and be like, you know, respectfully, Zach is like, do we just, some of these kids might not even know how to get to King Drive. We was just talking about this the other day, Shannon. Some of these kids ain't never even left their 2-block radius of their neighborhood.
Even more so why they need to participate in tomorrow.
I agree 100%. But then we think about transportation. Who gonna get them there? A lot of these kids probably, their families don't got transportation. And we forget about all of these different things that families deal with on an everyday basis, where segue that we, some kids go to school and that's their only meal.
Yeah. And I do think a lot of times, Shannon, we forget. No, I said I do think a lot of times we just forget because what we have so easily, people don't have, right? Like you said, like meals, as far as transportation, just the luxury of having somebody that lives on another part of town where you can see something different. And even with like them terrorizing the communities and things of that nature, or living in pure squander, a lot of times they don't see nothing wrong with it because that's all they've seen. So they don't have a representation of like, you know, oh, there's a better way to live. Even like, this is kind of off subject, but not really. When Glorilla said before she moved in with her dad, I think at like 15, she didn't even realize people had beds. Yeah, you got people in our city like that right now.
Yeah.
She said she thought that was just something on TV. Her and her 20 siblings, I think it's a high number. They were living in a 1-bedroom. They didn't have beds. They slept on the floor. They didn't really go outside because they were hungry because they were homeschooled, and the only meals that they would have gotten would have been from school. So it's like, mm-hmm. You do have people right now living like that. This is not something that's like, oh, that was 100 years ago happening. Glow is under 30. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And she did come from poverty, and we're living and we're witnessing poverty happen. And it's easy to forget that not everybody has like the life luxuries that we have that come so easily. So I do understand that. As far as overlooking the problem, like I said, instead of throwing a party, there might be better ways to go about it, right? Teach them how to earn this party, right? Maybe make it the light at the end of the tunnel. Like, yo, like if we do a neighborhood cleanup once a month or something, right? You guys sign in. We keeping track of who's showing up and who's bringing friends to that. You brought some friends to terrorize this warehouse. You can bring some friends to that. You earn some extra points or something. You know what I mean? Maybe we can get some pizza at the neighborhood cleanup. We can get a bus pass or something. Like, there's small things that won't hurt the community's pockets that we can donate to these kids. But I think there's better ways than straight up giving them a party. Maybe they can earn a party. Maybe we can pair them with somebody that has a little extra time and a little extra love in their heart to be able to be like a mentor for them, you know? But there's other ways to get through to the kids and make sure that they're earning said party. Look, we can give away ski masks.
It's not in the summertime.
With the truth on there.
With the truth.
Now you're talking.
With the truth. Tell the truth. Don't go anywhere, you all. You are tuned in to The Lunch Break with Ray Nitti and Shannon on The Truth 101.7 FM.
Don't go anywhere.
Straight to the gram. Yeah.
Welcome back to The Lunch Break. The Truth 101.7 FM. Zach got us turned in here, man. Zach got us turned in here.
Right.
We got a caller, Shannon, but before we go, we got Al. So I know where this is going to go. So Al going to tell me about how I'm tripping. But before we go to that, let me set the stage for Al. What do we think a block party is? You feel what I'm... Ah, Zach, you cold. I just caught what you did there with
Wait,
the cider.
Wait, what?
You cold. I saw,
what'd I do?
I just caught what you did there with the cider baby.
What did I do?
No, I saw
Dad,
what you did with this.
What I do.
You did. I saw what you did with the Sada Baby block party. I appreciate that. That's real artistry
hey,
right there.
You
I saw
what?
That. I didn't catch that, but
ooh,
Zach is a Zach is working
magic
back here.
Might be colder than what
here.
We think.
So block party. That was cold. He just blew my mind with that. I didn't even catch it. But what do we consider a block party? Because like. That doesn't mean just close the street down and turn the music up and then just let them have their way. Like the block parties that I've seen the Dream Team do and all these other aldermans do, there is resources there. There is, you know, all types of different educational material and places for kids to get plugged into that come and share this information with the people on the block. And then there is music and food there, yes. But it's not like a, oh, y'all just tore this up. Y'all just tore this up and now we about to come celebrate y'all. Like, no, that's not what this is. Let's go to our chat real quick. Somebody says make it a fix-it party where you can give the youth and people in the community time to come over with contractors and help fix up everything that was torn up and help build the community. Craig says... And instill pride back into the community. Titus says, if we did the block, if y'all did the block party, have black reinforcements for the YNs ready to get straightening up if some did. We've done block parties over there before and it's never been an issue. So, like, it's this narrative that we have about our own community. And I think a few bad people give an entire community a bad rap. And I think that's very dangerous narrative to start pushing, because what about the good kids? As if it's not good kids in the neighborhood on that same block that need some resources, might need a little extra help in knowing where a food pantry may be, may need some tutoring, may need some, whether that be counseling or so forth, or mental health resources. These are some of the things that I see. At these block parties. So do I got the definition wrong of what a block party is? Not the Sada Baby block party.
I thought it was gonna be bounce houses and pizzas. I'm like, hey, you might be trapping. But I feel like when we think block party, we think of a party. And I do think calling it a block party might be a good way to get people out for sure. But I will say I like the idea. Like, now that you've explained it, I do like the idea of having a block party, or maybe even like I said, a block cleanup. Let's clean up. Let's have a resource fair. Let's call it a block party to get the young people out there.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, what if it's called a resource fair, and maybe people think
but the
that
young
it's
folks
not
ain't
a,
gonna come to that.
They gonna come because it's gonna they gonna hear music and it's gonna be food and it's gonna be other things there. And
but if it's called a resource fair,
they ain't coming. We should test that theory.
If I seen a resource flyer when I was younger, I'm like, I ain't going to that. I don't need resources. But if you get me to a block party and got resources there, I'm like, I'll take the resources. Thanks for the pizza.
Yeah, I'll
resources,
take the pamphlet.
Y'all.
Yeah, and like right. You said, Shannon, the block parties we've done, they always start with a neighborhood cleanup. But we got Al.
Yeah.
Let's go see what Al is talking about this morning, Shannon. Al, good morning. Good afternoon. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. It sounds like to me they didn't learn you very well. They're going to cost you money, so you're going to spend money. Let's get something straight. These people are not dumb. They don't got mental health. They ain't stupid. If they want to get out that neighborhood, they can get out that neighborhood. Some of them parents chose and gave up because they don't want the responsibility of going to work. That's why a lot of things that a lot of black people good for this. I'm going to let God handle it. What ain't God ain't about God him. It's about you getting up and going to work so you can get your kids out that neighborhood. Them parents know how to get everything else, like that 3-5 that they don't need. They know how to get to church on Sunday and get that 30%. So all of a sudden, now these parents don't know. I bet you them parents be walking down the street with a butcher knife if you went upside their kid's head when they, oh, them kids ain't no good. So let's not put this thing like, oh, they got mental health. They have mental health when they
Some people,
need them.
Some people do, Al. We can't neglect that, and we can't neglect it, Al. I'm sorry, Al. We can't neglect it and act like our community is not suffering from a lot of these different things. And we got a lot of people. Hold on, Al. A lot of people in our community walks around misdiagnosed because we got systems that don't properly diagnose our community so they can medicate them up on all the wrong things. So go ahead, Al. I apologize.
No, don't apologize. But
no, I just didn't
want to
interrupt you.
No. If you're dealing with reality, you're not going to want to be medicated. See, when you deal with reality, you're not going to fall up under mental health because now you're going to be scorned and be put as crazy. They love doing black people like that.
Yeah.
See, you take your reality, you deal with your reality, and you turn it to success. And you have to be careful because some people will go down there and act like they got mental health to get a check.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you. So how do we aid our community? How do we act like community and not just take the standpoint of we going to turn our back on our community and let it run down to HE double hockey sticks, as you would say, Al? How do we love our community properly?
Hold them accountable, and for the ones who don't do right, let them rot.
Why can't we do both? Why can't we hold our community accountable and instill proper education and resources by ourselves, not waiting on no system to do it, where the community is coming together and getting back to that where, man, I used to be a knucklehead too back in the islands. And by the time I made it home, I probably had got two whoopings already, and then I got the most severe one when I got home. When do we go back to the community, Al, or is it abandon the community? Thank you, Al, for your input. Al gonna always keep it 100 and real. Shannon, we got Lisa on the line as well. Lisa, good afternoon. You live on the lunch break.
Good afternoon. About the block parties, I've been going to block party for the longest. Well, it's a block party, a block. We back in the day used to have block parties every year, two or three blocks. We would all come together. I think the police would bring out them orange barrels or whatever and block off, the area so we could, do whatever. And then we had our entertainment. We had Sam with his motorcycle, just riding down three blocks on one wheel. You know, we had our entertainment. My father would bring the music out, the kids. The whole point is we got to know each other.
Yeah.
We got to know who kid who. What's doing what or whatever. The women get together, they talk about their gardening and whatever they talk about, they bring the food out, they cook the food they sell. What's no fighting, what's no cussing, what's nothing. We think look, you gotta work one block at a time.
Yeah.
You can't be doing a community all the time. You can't do that. We need to know who is in our blocks first of all. We need to know who our neighbors are before we try to go to the community. You forgot the elderly woman.
Yeah.
She knew everybody's child. She would spank them and get home and tell their mama. But don't touch my kid. Now you got the attitude. Don't touch my kid. You going to okay. Well, when something happens to that little, it is what it is. Yeah. I step right over him.
Yep. Lisa, thank you for your comments. Shannon, what you think?
No, I was just going to say that I think Lisa is right. She's definitely got a point. And what she said just reminded me of like that you don't know me mentality or you don't know my child like that. If we knew each other, I think we would be more comfortable with disciplining each other or holding each other accountable, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like we've strayed away from like even knowing our neighbors, like especially in the community where like somebody could be living next door to you for years and you don't even introduce yourself. Y'all don't speak. Y'all treat each other like
strangers
instead of actually speaking like strangers for real. And I wonder even like people talk about how like social media has even changed the way people communicate, right? People don't speak as much as they used to. I'm wondering if that could be
it probably could be people social skills have been diminished, but I think we've seen that start to deteriorate before social media was at its height, though, in my opinion. People have started taking on this mentality of going for self. We got time to take this caller before we go to break.
Yep.
All right, we got Dave. Dave, how you doing? Good afternoon. You are live on the lunch break.
Spare the rod, spoil the child. Spoil the child.
Yes, sir. He said, I got it right today. Dave said, I got it right today. Spare the rod, spoil the child. Spare the rod, spoil the child, but don't forget to educate the child as well, because I think we think that, you know, just the hard discipline is where the lessons is. And that's not always where the lessons is. Sometimes the lessons is in the love that we show, because they're dealing with such a high level of aggression, of microaggression, of just stress, anxiety, and they have no real way to let that out. And we're seeing, I don't know who said it, or I think you said it, Shannon, we're just seeing the byproduct of the conditions that our people have been forced to live into. And it's easy to say, you could get out that neighborhood if you want to. Yeah. It ain't that easy on dope. It ain't that easy. Take us a break, Shannon.
The whole family is doing other things. Before we go on the break, I just wanted to let you guys know to not miss the 101.7 The Truth broadcasting live from Milwaukee's Juneteenth celebration. Join us, community conversations, interviews, the community leaders, and more. Thanks to Educators Credit Union, Molson Coors, and Tayback Law, American Family Insurance, and Milwaukee College Prep for supporting this special community event. We'll see you at the Juneteenth Festival as we celebrate freedom, culture, education, and community together.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the lunch break on the Truth 101.7 FM. Hope y'all eating good, man, because we serving up some real good food right now, Shannon. The food tasting good right now, Shannon. I hope y'all getting your feel. Hope they getting their feel. But we going to close out that topic, right? It was a great topic with E. Wright says the phrase, spare the rod, spoil the child, is often interpreted as physical punishment, but it's not. The rod was not primarily a tool for striking sheep. It was used to guide, protect, and redirect them when they wandered from safety.
Let him cook.
Shouts out to E. Wright for that transitioning into our community as we get deeper. Some of the other things that our community, I would say, struggles with is we like to say hold people accountable. We want to hold the children accountable, right? Let's go. Let's talk about it. Let's go, adults. We like to talk about holding the children accountable. When we gonna start holding your aunties, your nieces, your uncles, your boyfriends? When you gonna hold them accountable for, you know, touching on your daughters? When you gonna start believing your kids? When we gonna start believing the kids? And maybe that's why they acting the way they acting. Because y'all ain't believing that you got family members that are putting their hands on them in disrespectful, disgusting ways. But we want to say spare the rod, spoil the child. We want to talk about it also says raise a child in the way you want them to go. Mm. So when we going to start holding adults accountable, Shannon? We talk about these kids. These kids is going through some crazy things. Some crazy things. I know the city's been talking about that situation where a guy was accused of having an inappropriate relationship with his daughter. And from what people are saying, this person has been out in the community. operating businesses. People have been supportive. People have even been vocal as to, you know, why they're supporting the person. And said person, ironically enough, got into another altercation where seemingly they were being kind of aggressive with another young lady. And said young lady's brother, a teen, who happens to be Mark Chambers' nephew, intervened and got killed by said individual that our community didn't hold accountable.
Had he been held accountable, he wouldn't have been in that position.
Talk to me.
I don't know. That's how I feel. Oh. If adults hadn't have held him accountable, he wouldn't have been, if the community held him accountable, he wouldn't have been able to show his face in anybody's home, in anybody's community.
If we didn't reward
around anybody's
him.
Anybody's child.
If we didn't reward him. We didn't enable that uncle.
Yeah, if we weren't waiting for all of the details to come out, oh, we gonna wait. We gonna wait and see. Yeah, let's wait and see how many other children and families he can affect before we actually take action, right?
And that's just one case, right, Shannon?
Now we're here.
It's so many stories. I think Zach brought it up the other day. Why is it normal for us to be like, man, you know, everybody got that one weird uncle. Why is that a normal phrase in our community? Adults say that, not kids.
Because kids don't understand what you mean, like, when you're saying that. Like, what do you mean he's weird? Like,
exactly.
He talks weird. He smells weird. Then, what?
And then I feel like it almost puts the burden onto the child. And a lot of times I do feel like in our communities, we put the burden onto the child. Why are you wearing that? Why are you around that person? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of an adult being a trusted adult. I'm not thinking of all the other things that can come with it. I don't know the family discussions that have been had. All I know is y'all complaining about me wearing my favorite shorts.
Right. Right. So
look, I was nice to an adult. Now I'm fast. What are we talking about?
And you wanted it.
I'm just saying. Exactly.
Or,
so I don't understand. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Shannon.
No, I was just going to say, I just don't understand the mind frame people are in when they say, oh, like the kids need to do this and do that. Like, they literally will put all the blame on a child. And you hear that time and time again, like, about how a 12-year-old, a 14-year-old should have knew better.
Mm-hmm.
When we're talking about adults. So there's that.
Man, absolutely. It did. Like, abusers. People that know they homie physically abuse women. But still go hang with them. Still go stand up when you see he's engaging in abusive behavior. Sometimes you see people laughing as if it's funny.
No, they do this all the time.
And this is the behavior. This is the behavior in our community that we leave unchecked and then want to make sure the kids get disciplined. The kids don't deserve
Mind
a second
you, a
chance,
lot of times.
But the adults do, who should know better.
Exactly. And mind you, a lot of times they're doing it around the children. These behaviors are happening right in front of the kids. What do you think that's doing to a young child's mind?
100%. They are a mirror
so a lot of, the behavior
of
is,
what
is
they see.
On us.
100%.
Yep.
They are a reflection of what they saw, what they heard. 833-212-1017. Call in, adults. We was talking about the kids earlier. Let's talk about the adults now.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to hear y'all thoughts.
Tell us why y'all was partying in that warehouse pool with that accused molester that now is in jail. Ain't that what happened? Didn't he throw like a party in a warehouse? It was a pool party and they was bumping to the roof.
I did hear.
What happened?
I did hear about some pool party that was going on and like the said
and it wasn't even a good party.
It says said
it wasn't nothing. You can't miss this Diddy party party.
Bruh.
It was gross.
Yeah, I do remember hearing about
that. It was in like
that.
A warehouse.
Yep.
It was a warehouse.
That was last year.
In a pool from Home Depot. Yep.
Not even in swimming trunks.
The water was brown.
I want to say, yep, different color, yep.
Straight up. So.
So y'all that thirsty to hang with a molester?
Woo, I'm going to let you cook, Shannon. Go ahead, Shannon.
I just want to know. Like, at least Diddy party was something prestige. Like, you got to get to this Diddy party before we knew the allegations, right? People was like, you made it if you get in the water with Diddy, right? Ain't that what was
Devon Haney
posted? You made it. Y'all made it if y'all party in that warehouse with that brown water in that Home Depot pool. Mm. What y'all make it to?
The ER?
I'm just wondering. ER.
It's funny you brought up Diddy, Shannon. Like, I'm sure a lot of people saw the documentary, and Zach just brought up, like, think of the childhood that Diddy had. What his mom had him around. You know? Like, he saw that type of stuff growing up. From what I remember in the documentary, his pops got killed early in the drug game. Ironically enough, huh? Seemed like a similar pattern, right?
History repeats itself.
All right, then. And guess
a lot of these kids just do it.
Come on now. The adults hand down bad, terrible examples, behaviors, and adults want to hold the children accountable, but skip over holding the adults accountable. It's something missing there, community. We're not connecting some dots right there, Truth Nation. I want to read something real quick, Shannon, and I'm going to let you cook. When we did the development, when we were doing the development, I had this focus where it was about 32nd and Center, same area where the things where the break-in happened, right? And we had a program where we were working on getting folks that lived in the area to take care of the community, whether that's knocking on doors, seeing what the families needed, regular neighborhood cleanups, regular snow blowing and lawn cutting, just empowering the young people and the people of the community to take ownership of the community, right? And it was based off of this principle. It was called Impatapo, an ancient West African Adinkra symbol originating from the Ashanti people of Ghana. Represented by a knot without beginning or end, it serves as a powerful emblem of peace, reconciliation, forgiveness, and the resolution of conflict. The interwoven lines represent the unbreakable bond that ties parties in a dispute together, guiding them towards a peaceful and harmonious resolution. So we use that as a symbol that we wanted to put on the shirts and have the young people going around knocking on doors because of what it represented. It represented us not breaking this bond until we come to a harmonious resolve of whatever this discourse is in our community. We like to parade all of these symbols and Juneteenth meanings and emoji and emoja and all word slips me right now, but you know, we like to parade all of these things, but we don't get into the meaning of them and practice it. Kwanzaa is what I was looking for. Shannon, we got a caller. You want to take this caller? Oh, we'll take the caller after the break. Take us to break, Shannon. My bad.
All right, we're going to head off to break. We will be right back. We are on 101.7 The Truth. Make sure you guys call in or hit us up on YouTube at 101.7 The Truth. And also follow us on Facebook at The Lunch Break. We'll be right back.
Don't go anywhere.
Welcome back, Truth Nation, to the Lunch Break on 101.7 FM. Shannon, how you feeling?
Man, feeling all right. I'm feeling all right, Ray.
I want you continue your thought and then take us to the caller that we have on the line, Shannon.
So let's take the caller first, because what I want to do here is read a few of the comments that we got on Facebook so people can see where our Facebook crew is head is at. So
let's do it.
Is the caller on the line?
Yep. Go ahead, the caller.
Hey, Shannon. How y'all doing today? This is the caller. I've been a listener and Truth Nation member since 101.7 went on the air. And what worked for me in keeping my children safe was keeping them in my care, and which means that if they were going to a practice with a coach, I was there. They were allowed to go to their grandparents' home. And I know this specific case is different because no one can predict a spouse or a parent. If you're the person who chose to parent a child with a creep, you definitely would not have done that with that knowledge. But what I would like to encourage is to hold everyone accountable and to not make this specific to an industry. Like for a while, I was always hearing Hollywood and Hollywood and Hollywood, where at the same time, thousands of people have been damaged by priests and Boy Scout troop members and coaches. So in focusing on Hollywood solely, we're turning our head away from a society of people who might have been connected to the Epstein files in one way or another, because this is like that zombie disease of evil. Yeah. And so we have to hold everyone accountable. And in holding everyone, including children who might misuse other children, are in doing that, are able to locate where did this happen to this child to make him victimize another child. Now, when it comes to children, we know that they're not held to the same standards of accountability as adults. They can be reformed. In my opinion, if you are an adult who harms a child in that way, man, woman, uncle, none of that is ever normal, and you cannot be reformed. So that's why I feel it's very important that this nation gets a chance to find out everything that is in these Epstein files, for example, and it will shine light on this society as a whole, which starts, you know how they say things roll downhill, which starts with people with the most power who are excused for this behavior and who have the finances to hire lawyers who can get them off when they've committed these types of crimes. So I feel bad for the situation. I came into your show a little bit late today, but I kind of have an idea of what and whom you're talking about. But I have a friend or two who has suffered this. And like, I was friends with these people since I was a child, and I didn't find out this because it's such a damaging thing that they won't tell you until way later in life when they know they can trust you. And the damage that it does to a person is sometimes unrepairable. But I am proud to say that the one specific person that I'm thinking of has made sure that her abuser was held accountable, because this person continued for many years to abuse other people. And that's when she became brave enough to come forward and talk about what happened to her.
Man, thank you. Thank you, the caller. Thank you, the caller. Shannon, I know you want to get into the comments, but what the caller was saying was very important. I think we dropped on. Sorry about that, the call. I think we dropped call. Sorry about that. But we don't know how hard it is for somebody to come forward and speak up, right? Like, it took my mom, I was 14 when we moved to Milwaukee. It took her 14 years. And I'm assuming it didn't just start while I was of age to notice. So she went through that for 14 years, and don't know how long before that. before she was like, I'm out. I'm going to read a couple from the text line real quick, Shannon.
Okay.
Somebody says, why ignore it and let it happen to others? Somebody says, why wait? Be proactive, not reactive. Put them in jail. I'm assuming they're talking about the kids. Somebody says, facts, Chris. And Craig says, too many predators of sexual abuse. Sports figures, politicians, pastors, neighbors, teachers, musicians, artists, actors, and actresses, rappers, producers. The list goes on. Where are the victims, or where are the victims of these acts going to be protected and given justice? I'll let you get into some of the Facebook comments, Shannon. You could take us out.
For sure. So we got a comment from Mariah that I thought was pretty good. She said, honestly, in many communities, we spent generations taught to keep family secrets, protect reputation, and handle things in-house. That means looking the other way, minimizing allegations, or questioning the victims instead of holding adults accountable. I also think we have a tendency to give certain people a pass when they are popular, powerful, talented, or financially successful. If someone is popular or somewhat a celebrity, a respected community member, a pastor, an athlete, or a person paying the bills, people sometimes make an excuse for the behavior they would have never excused from another person that they just think is ordinary. We have to ask ourselves why a person's popularity, money, influence, or sometimes will sometimes outweigh our concerns for a child's safety. That was Mariah on Facebook. Okay. We do have a few more, and I think tomorrow
we got like 2 minutes
to get back into it.
We got 2 minutes. Read one more.
We do, but these some long comments. These were really long comments. I feel like people were definitely passionate about the topic, and I do feel like we can get back into it tomorrow. Make sure you guys head back over here tomorrow on y'all lunch break so we can continue to discuss the topic at hand and get into some more things.
We're gonna read one more from offline.
It's too good not to.
Which one you see, Zach? Which one you see? Read it for us. Make sure I ain't missing one.
Another one from Ito. He said it means confronting the possibility that we got something wrong, and many people would rather avoid that discomfort than face the reality that their approach may need to change.
Thank you, E.Dot Wright, for that. Thank you, Zach, for catching that. Shannon, tell the people where they can you, man, before we sign off. We got like one more minute.
Yeah. Hit us up on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, anywhere you can find me. I'm Maybe Shannon, MaybeShannon _. Ray Nitty, where can they find you? Also, let them know where to find our lunch break page.
Oh, yeah. You can find me at RayNitti. That is Ray Nitty on all platforms. Make sure you check out the lunch break on Facebook. And don't go anywhere. Manon Sabir is up next with the Grapevine on the Truth 101.7 FM. Don't go anywhere. Manon. Hit me up, Shannon.